Bill Daughtry on Afternoon Jazz in our performance studio in the holiday spirit. And glad to have the great Cyrus Chestnut with us here at WBGO. Cyrus, how have you been?
I've been very well. Hope all has been well with you.
I can't complain about a thing. And it's exciting to have you here because your new album, Kaleidoscope, it's kind of interesting. It was promoted as, well, Cyrus is going to do something a little different from the soul jazz and the gospel and the blues. And I got to tell you, at first glance, you don't get it. But when you really sit down and listen to it, Kaleidoscope's a home run, brother.
Yeah, it's something different. I guess coming out of hearing the voice of Betty Carter talk to me, even now, I appreciate consistency. It said that, oh, yeah, he's so soulful and everything, and I appreciate that. Don't get me wrong. But I don't want to be typecast. So there's always something else. There's always a different way. And Kaleidoscope is like just trying to find some different ground, taking some of these beautiful melodies and really finding my way through them. There's certain things that are core with me, you know, you got to have some type of groove, but not always the certain, and you will hear a gospel element, but just on the intern a little different way. So I don't ever want anybody to get used to what that sounds like. There's got to be evolution. It's got to be forward motion. At least personally for me, you know, I'm hearing the voice of Betty Carter saying, why are you still playing that? You don't need to play that. You've already done that. It's time for you to find something different. So what if they're doing all of that? Do you have to do it too? Find your own way. And that's been my life. I mean, being around a lot of the great elders. I remember hanging out with the great Junior Mance. And he used to tell me about, he would go to... he would be in Chicago asking people how to play things. He says, no, man, that's my stuff. You go find your own stuff. And then even my time at Berklee College in Boston, when I would ask people, how do you do that? They'd say, So rather than they sit down and show it to me, I had to sit back and just listen to them. And maybe not play exactly what they played, but figure out how I connected to it. And then work that way, you know.
So you let them put it into you, and when it was your turn, it would come out.
Yeah.
So you have a lengthy turn coming up at Smoke, starting tonight through the 16th of the month. Talk about that.
That's right. This is going to be a special one. It's nice to always come and headline in New York to feature this music. I think this will be, I've played at the Jazz Standard earlier in the year with Buster Williams and Lenny White, and that was a fantastic time. But this time, these next few days, I get a chance to go to work, so to speak, with Eric Wheeler and Chris Beck, the gentleman who recorded this record. So we've done a little run on the Midwest. We were playing Charlie Brown and some of this repertoire. So looking
that was
forward.
That Charlie Brown, by the way, Cyrus Chestnut and Friends, that was my very first Cyrus Chestnut CD, just for the record, just so
okay,
you know.
Okay, thank you.
So what are we going to hear from Kaleidoscope?
During the Smoke, we're going to basically play the record. Everything, even including Deep Purple. Smoke on the Water, you know. And which will probably be interesting for a lot of people because, once again, I guess I have certain consistency, if I might say, doing certain things, but to come with Deep Purple, and let me tell you the story real quick about Deep Purple. Anything can happen on the bandstand. I do my best to allow inspiration to happen. I plan, but then I still allow for that realm of the unknown to come in and turn things around. So I was at Bird's Basement in Melbourne, Australia, and for some reason I just started playing and so I don't know, Eric and Chris, they looked at me like, what? And so we went with it, and it's like, and people in the audience, they started going crazy. Now, mind you, people would say, oh, he's going to do, think about, oh, Smoke on the Water. Oh, he's going to do it. One, two, one, two. It's like, no, no. We went way on the outside with it. And so to announce it in audiences now, people Smoke on the Water, you hear them laugh, and they say, what? And when they hear it, they say, ooh. So it'll be very interesting. A lot of things there, some of the repertoire, like the Gymnopédies, the Nocians, things from Children's Corner, Gollywog's Cakewalk, and Jimbo's Lullaby.
Yes.
Now, our Jimbo is from uptown. Okay. I'll tell that story. We have a different conception of Jimbo. You know, our Jimbo is uptown, you know, like hanging out, trying to make it from day to day, you know. You can also really subtitle that survival.
Well, that means there's a little bit of flow in Jimbo's lullaby.
He's not just
rocking you.
And
to
so
sleep.
It's something where their intention is just forward motion, just to keep make people raise their heads, you know, not be so comfortable, to keep them interested. It's like, oh, you know. So we'll see what happens. Hope everybody comes through, all the friends and all the enemies. You're looking forward to having this four-day run. Looking forward to every set sold out.
Looking for everybody. At Smoke everybody. On the 13th tonight through the 16th, Cyrus Chestnut. Mm-hmm. The new album, Kaleidoscope, we're going to hear some selections right now. Let's start with the lead track, Gullywog's Cakewalk.
Sounds good to me.
Cyrus Chestnut on Afternoon Jazz. Thank you. Gullywog's Cakewalk with Cyrus Chestnut. Now, it is Christmas time. It is that special time of year. And I remember telling you a few moments ago that the very first Cyrus Chestnut album I ever owned, Cyrus Chestnut and Friends, Charlie Brown Christmas. I understand you got a little selection from that up your sleeve this afternoon.
Yes, I do. How about a little Christmas Time Is Here?
Works for me.
All right. Thank you.
It is the most wonderful time of the year, even more wonderful when you hear the piano of Cyrus Chestnut. He'll be at Smoke tonight through the 16th of December as he stops by here to the WBGO Performance Studio at this very important time of the year for us. It is our year-end fundraiser, and we encourage you to support your public radio station. Pledge your support. Do it right now. Our volunteers are waiting to hear from you at 1-800-499-9246, or you can pledge your support online at WBGO.org. Bill Daughtry with the great Cyrus Chestnut, who's opening tonight at Smoke. He'll be there until the 16th of the month, but go see him as soon as you can. Like he said, he wants to pack the house out. He's got some talented players with him. Eric Wheeler will be there on bass and Chris Beck on drums. Cyrus, I got to ask you, can you let Chris sing a little bit? Because he did on his debut album.
Really? Okay. I have to keep that in mind. I have to keep that in mind.
So as you get ready for this week or so at Smoke, we were talking before we started the program about musical roots and how you are now a part of a very long line of wonderful music, a very important part of our culture. I'm curious, as a young man from Baltimore, where'd you start in Baltimore? Was it in church? Or give us a little bit of the beginning of Cyrus Chestnut.
Well, let's see if I can do the abbreviated. my dad plays piano. And in order to keep me quiet, he would put me in the bassinet, set me by the piano, and start playing. And I would just go to sleep. So he says around the age of 3, I climbed up on the bench. And I remember climbing up on the bench just trying to do what he did. That led up to, he started me with the Layla Fletcher piano course. By 5, I was receiving professional, had my first teacher, Ada Jenkins. And then I remember studying with a teacher named Linda Lessie. And Linda Lessie was very instrumental. She was the one that actually helped me to get to the Peabody Preparatory in Baltimore. So by the age of 9, I was in the preparatory learning Beethoven, Brahms, and Bach. 9 was very interesting because I found myself at a 5 and dime store looking at this record with this guy sitting at the piano. I had a hard time pronouncing his name, but it was something about the picture that I gravitated to. I just couldn't take my eyes off of it and I wanted this record. It was Thelonious Monk, and the record was Thelonious Monk's greatest hits. So I'm dating myself now. I take it at home and play it on my little show and tell. I don't know, nobody may not know what a show and tell is, but anyway. So, you know, at the age of 9, I'm listening to Crepuscule with Nelly, Straight No Chaser, you know, Epistrophe, and all alike. And as time went on, my days of love for Beethoven, Brahms, and Bach took a side seat to Bud Powell, you know, Charlie Parker, and Train, and all the cats. Also, too, while I was at the preparatory, I was taking musicianship classes, why I mentioned that was, it's putting together this whole my whole journey of destiny towards where I'm at now. In the musicianship classes, I had to study various different periods of music. We studied Gregorian chants. We studied the Baroque, a lot of different things. And as we studied and as we analyzed, our assignments were to create our own Gregorian chants. Mm. So here I am already, the creative process is already being started very early. Playing in church, yeah, I was playing in church since about 5 or 6 years old. You know, some people say they remember me playing with my legs swinging from the piano bench. It wouldn't.
Can't get those pedals.
Yeah,
just yet.
You know. But even there, you know, in church, I was learning ear training, an accompaniment as well. Ear training, because sometimes people would start singing songs. They wouldn't tell you what the name of it is, mm-hmm. or, you know, they start singing, and I had to be able to hear and a company, you know. Even in the earlier days of the singing, singing preacher, when they were clothes, and you know, they were their clothing would be kind of like the blues, so to speak, you know. he had to be engaged that way, and playing with choirs, playing with soloists, so it was all a part of just this development. There was even times when the minister would just look at me and say, "Play something." And I had to, you know, just come up with something. All of that brings me to graduating from high school. Easily could have gone to the Peabody Conservatory, but I ended up going to Boston, going to Berklee College of Music, which I majored in jazz composition and arranging. And so now I'm enrolled in the University of the Streets. And so that's an ongoing university where you learn the meaning of the flatted third and the flatted seventh. Some people call it a tritone. Well, other folk I've learned call it the blues, you know. So that's just it. And, you know, moving on along, graduating out of college, hitting the New York scene, fortunately was able to get onto the scene with John Hendricks. After that,
started at the top.
Yeah, worked with Terrence Blanchard and Donald Harrison. I also did. I was able to sit in with Dizzy Gillespie. Actually, I was on the jazz cruise, and it's a picture of me playing with Joe Williams, George Mraz, Alan Dawson. Let's see, Doc Cheatham. I remember we were playing the blues, and I was like, wow. Norman Simmons was the accompanist, and then he just got up and says, "Come on, play." I was like, what? You know, so it's very memorable. I've also had to play with many people. I also had the opportunity. I got the call from Wynton Marsalis, and, you know, even at this point, from time to time, I'm very grateful to do certain things with Mr. Marsalis. But Betty Carter. Betty Carter was my finishing school. And I can't go under it. I can't go over it. I have to call it the way it is. Many things that I think about, many things that I do, I hear the voice of Betty. I hear the voice of Betty constantly. I was very blessed to be a judge in the Thelonious Monk competition just recently. And I was hearing, it was the voice of Betty. She was just talking to me. Just talking to me, telling me about, you heard that before. So she, her mentorship within those 2 years and three months, it really changed my life. I could go on and on about it. Even after my stint with Betty, I was grateful to do a brief stint with Roy Hargrove, you know, bless his soul.
And we just lost, yes.
Yeah. And I get a call to start recording records of my own. And here I am now, still trying to figure out a way of how to navigate, to figure out what it is that I'm supposed to do. Changing the world the best I can. One rhythm, one melody, one harmony at a time.
Cyrus Chestnut, you talk about your evolution. You talk about Kaleidoscope. You talk about your formal training where you studied some wonderful classic composers. You've incorporated some of that on this album.
Yes, I teach at Howard University in Washington, D.C., of which HU, you know.
Go Bison.
there, you know, it's a beautiful environment to teach in. It's just, but it's such rich traditions there at the university. It gives me a chance also to do some research. And I've always been a fan of the Impressionist composers. And so one day I'm sitting in the office, let me start playing some Erik Satie. And I wanted to play Satie. And I wanted to stay away from the signature things, all the things that might have crossed over. I wanted to really dig in and find out what Brother Satie was about, what the Impressionist was about. Debussy also. My research also took me to Ravel as well. So I wanted to just simply be an interpreter. I think that's my whole intention. So I could easily, I really could easily play the notes exactly. I could you know, discipline myself and play the notes exactly as they were written. And you know, but
you heard Betty Carter talking.
Yeah, to yeah. You know, quick sidestep, quick backtrack. Kimball's East, Emeryville, California. Mm-hmm. Played a set. I played If I Were a Bell, the Miles Davis version. Ding dong, bing dong, dong dong. You know, deep deep up up deep deep. You know, the exact thing. I thought I had it down. She looked at me. She came on, and she looked at me. She gave me this look. If looks were kill, I wouldn't be talking to you now. Mm-hmm. And then come going, calling me back. I have to give you the clean version of what she said. It comes down to this. Why are you playing something that I already heard? I know it better than you. I was there. Says, I don't have you here to play something that I already know. So with all due respect, I understand that you still have to go and research it, but once you learn it, it's like, figure out a different way to do it. You know, why play the same thing? Why regurgitate? Why you're not a record player? You know? Dr. Rupert Stone from Baltimore, Maryland, who taught many years at Howard University, kind of confirmed that by saying, he says, Chestnut, jazz is not about recreation. It's creation. He says, Miles and Diz, they created. And thinking about that, I was like, wow. So even in this day, as I go back and research history, to develop my foundation, I must leave it under my feet and find a way to soar. So that's hence Kaleidoscope. The idea for this record is not just to take pieces of the melody, you know. I wanted to really dig into these songs, dig into it, and really find, you know, find something different. The repertoire, the gymnopédies, the nociennes, maybe some of the things, Jimbo's Lullaby, you know. I was talking earlier about Jimbo's Lullaby, and I mean, when I started, when I heard that melody, da-da, ba-ba-da-da-da, it took me uptown. I just thought about the brother sitting on the corner, you know, just sitting, navigating, just contemplating. Waking up, how am I going to make it today? How am I going to get through this thing called life? Or how do I survive in this day or time? That's my Jimbo. And so, no disrespect to Debussy's Jimbo, but we just have a different point of view.
I know the brother.
Yeah, you know. And honestly, I believe jazz is freedom of expression, and I believe we should. I mean, it might be a little different, interesting these days. Tell you the truth about this whole freedom thing, you know. But that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because young artists are taking this music in a whole nother direction.
Yeah. But I mean, just you know, to be willing to state your point of view, and it's not about fixing what was already done. It's just offering your point of view. Some people say tomato. Some people say tomato. Others say ketchup.
There you go. Sometimes you just have to do you.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Gymnopédie, number one.
Yes. It's this one, I think, is one of Satie's popular pieces. It actually had crossed over. I didn't realize it. But it's a beautiful melody. And one thing I like about Satie is the fact that his phrases for me are very organic. And it's like one would talk. A phrase is given, and you have time to really process what it is. Versus, you know, the four bars here, four bars there. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes you want to be able to breathe. Take in what it is, what is being said, then move forward. And a lot of that music, some of it was hit me that way, specifically this Gymno PD. So, if it be all right with you.
Please do.
Let's see what we can get with
it. Cyrus Chestnut, Gymno PD, number one on WBGO. Gymnopedi, number one, with Cyrus Chestnut on WBGO. Cyrus, big engagement tonight, opening at Smoke from tonight through the 16th. You'll be there with Eric Wheeler and Chris Beck. Looking forward to that. Before we let you go, need to hear from you the importance of public radio and what this media means to you, means to your music.
Well, public radio, I think it's probably the only avenue I could honestly say where you have the outlet of being who you are to express your views. It's very important. And I think society is dead without it. And therefore, it must survive. And as funding, I believe, is starting to dwindle, then we, each one of us, have to make sure that it doesn't die. So in this season, in all the time, we must do everything we can to keep this station and all public stations up and running. Because if we don't, I think there's a danger. I think it is the one outlet where one can be free to express who they are. And public radio has been a great avenue for jazz. And we need jazz to stay around. It will stay around, I know for sure. But with everyone's support, you need everyone's support. So I guess you could say go online, hit the digits, sound the alarm, post, whatever you have to do. But let's not let public radio fail. Let's do everything we can to make it thrive for not only for us, but for the generations to come.
In this season of giving, you can do your part right now by calling 1-800-499-9246. You can pledge your support to WBGO online at WBGO.org. In this season of giving, Cyrus Chestnut, it's time for some holiday music.
Okay.
You've got a wonderful medley prepared for us.
Yeah, it's circling in my head. Let's see what happens.
It's gonna come out. Let it
right,
out.
Okay. Thank you.
Cyrus Chestnut, Merry Christmas, man.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you for stopping by and making this a very special holiday for us. The name of the CD, I don't know if you can see this, is Kaleidoscope. Get you one, and if you can't get you one, get to smoke tonight through the 16th. First set is what time tonight?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock tonight. Cyrus Chestnut, along with Eric Wheeler and Chris Beck at Smoke. Thanks again for coming in today.
Thank you so much.